We conclude our summer study on the fruit of the Spirit today. We started way back when, and in May and into June, and moved through this, so 9 weeks of the spiritual fruit. Now, we called this study organic because we said the closer we get to God, the closer we get to a son through worship and through Bible study, through sharing, through giving, the fruit of the Spirit takes root, and it grows within us. It matures in every area of our lives. Our last character fruit is self-control. And I said last week that according to unofficial surveys that I've done when I have conducted a Bible study or taught a small group on the fruit of the Spirit, that gentleness was the least appealing fruit because we really don't know what it is. It just sounds something we don't want to have in our life. But as we studied last week, that's exactly what we need. Well, self-control is, in these surveys, the most difficult fruit to acquire, to allow to grow and mature. We think of self-control, well, you saw the symbol for it, duct tape. In other words, just put it over your mouth before you say anything stupid. And we understand what that's like. All we have to do is look around the world. Look at the definition. Let's start that. Self-control is the ability to restrain one's emotions, desires, or impulses. Well, sounds really simple, but we know it's not. It is very difficult. Just look around at what we see every day. We see temper tantrums from children who then cause temper tantrums in parents, trying to get them to stop their temper tantrum, and then everybody's yelling. We've got, remember the COVID wars early? When we were fighting over toilet tissue, sanitizer, chicken. I mean, when the rumors were out there that we were going to have a shortage of chicken, it all disappeared and we were fighting for that. What about our eating habits? When we're having to choose between Weight Watchers and In-N-Out Burger. And I actually years ago had a lady come up to me and say, David, I have no self-control at all. Said, Weight Watchers gives me 30 eating points every day and mine are gone before lunch. And we know in all of our different areas there are self-control issues. We have to fight such impulses every day, in fact. And so the Apostle Paul comes along and he reminds us self-control is desperately needed in our daily walk. Because these desires, some that seem innocent, can lead to sin. In fact, before he listed the fruit of the Spirit, he addressed that, why we need the fruit. The acts of the flesh, that's what he calls it, or the deeds of the flesh. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, and the word witchcraft there not only includes the occult, but includes drug usage as well. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. So he begins with sexual immorality and ends with sexual immorality, knowing that's a very difficult temptation and a very prevalent one. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. See, many of the behaviors that Paul lists here show human nature out of control. We see in its excessive worst. This uncontrolled life allows people to give into self-indulgence, sexual gratification, pride, gluttony, and so many other sins. They're unhealthy physically, emotionally, and especially spiritually. So what Paul is saying, self-control is the opposite of all those behaviors. Self-control is what keeps us on God's path. The fact is probably the reason why self-control is the one and only fruit of the Spirit for which we don't have a matching quality in God. Now, if you've been through this entire series, you know the first thing we do is we use God or His Son Jesus as an example of what this fruit looks like, how it manifests itself in our life. So we can think of Bible teaching about the love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, as well as God's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. But when we come to this last one, self-control, it's something we need. It's not something God has to exercise. God does not have to hold in check His evil desires. The Bible tells us God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. But we need the Holy Spirit to enable us and empower us to control our sinful desires. Now that does not mean we will reach perfection in life. We're going to fall. And we're going to fail. But we must remember that the body is God's temple, because the Holy Spirit, a part of God, resides in us. And so we turn to the temple owner to ask Him to help control us when it comes to these desires. We've got to learn to control ourselves. Those of you who have traveled or maybe just like to look at historical pictures have seen scenes like this. Castles with walls torn down. And there's a verse that goes with that, Proverbs 25:28. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. In other words, we are defenseless. We're doomed to defeat. Once the walls have fallen, the enemy can march in through the breach and conquer the entire city. In our case, it's the entire life. We have no chance against a spiritual attack unless we get spiritual help to develop the spiritual fruit of self-control. It's all spiritual warfare. It's Satan trying to destroy what we have, what is precious to us, our homes, our families, our reputation, our careers. So we have to fight spiritually to acquire this self-control. I was born and raised in Lexington, Kentucky, and surrounded by these white fenced horse farms that bred and trained thoroughbreds who were destined to be in racetracks all over the world and in our country. I have friends who worked on those farms. In fact, at one point in time, a friend gave me a horseshoe that Secretariat had worn. And I've got it up in my man cave right now. But when he gave it to me, I attached it to my tennis shoe and tried to run faster, and it didn't work. I was so disappointed. But if you've ever watched those thoroughbreds, the trainer or jockey, even though this animal is huge and strong, it has surrendered its will to the trainer. And it didn't happen overnight. It was a long, drawn-out process. But they reached a point that developed this very strong feeling of loyalty to each other and a partnership. And when it comes to self-control, this is the kind of relationship we must have with God. That we trust Him to take care of us. That we trust Him not to put us in danger, not to go somewhere that can be a weakness for us, that can be difficult beyond what we can handle. And so we have a strong will. We like to do things our way, but God says, trust me. And we're going to have a partnership through life. And you will be able to possess this fruit called self-control. The closer you get to me, God says, the closer you get to my son, the more time you spend in worship and prayer and giving and sharing with other people, that fruit will grow organically, naturally. And that's our goal. That means we're better able to deal with temptations involving sexual sins and anger and attitudes and envy and pride and gossip and all those other areas of Satan's attack on us. Peter repeated some of the spiritual fruit when he wrote this. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. And to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, to mutual affection, love. So you've got all of this. Why? For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, in other words, they continue to grow in you, they continue to mature in you, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to this warning. Whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Okay, do you understand what this is saying? If we are not allowing the Spirit to develop these wonderful qualities in our life and include several of the spiritual fruit that we've been studying, we are blind to the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins. That he opened the gates of heaven for all time. Now, you're thinking, that doesn't make sense. I know that. That's always in my head. But does it exist in your daily life? Do you have that thought when you are facing temptation? Do you have that thought when you walk into your home and see your family? Do you have that thought when you're at work? Do you have that thought when you're talking to your neighbors? Do you have that thought every day? I'm here because Jesus Christ died for me. My sins are forgiven because Jesus went to the cross. One day, I've got a place waiting for me in heaven. And when I get there, it's because Jesus did this for me. It's all about Jesus. And so this thought must be in our lives, or we're blind to it. So if you're dealing with an area of struggle, you're dealing with this warning that those who thrive in the sins of the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. We've got to start asking ourselves a few questions. Here's two to start with. Is my first reaction to a life experience a fruit of the Spirit or a loss of control? And the second question, have you ever lost control to any dangerous emotion or a damaging sin? Now, if you can think back at a time, or maybe it's recent, when you could answer one of these two questions, yes, then the first thing to do is confess it to God. Now, I know he already knows. He sees everything. He knows what's going on in our lives. But he wants us to acknowledge it before him. So it begins with confession. God, listen, I'm really struggling with this. And I have lost control over this area of my life sometimes. And then you pray. You say, God, I need your power to overcome this. And I've got to get close to you, because that's how these fruits mature. So you're in the Word every day. And we've talked about this over and over, about being in the Word every day, even if it's just 15 minutes, even if it's just a chapter. You're in the Word every day. You're reading it. And God will bless those seeds that are planted in there. It means you're praying every day. It means you're spending time with God every day. It means you're faithful in your worship and in your giving and in your prayers and in your sharing. And what happens is, the control that you've given away to Satan, You're taking back, but you're not holding on to it. You're giving it to God. You're saying, I can't do this by myself. I need help. In recent years, hoarding has become, has entered the public conscious as a severe disorder. When I was a kid, it wasn't considered an emotional illness, nor was it ever called a hoarding. Most people thought of these individuals as pack rats or collectors or just plain cluttered folks who sort of let things pile up and just got messy. And now we know that many of these people are coping with real obsessive disorders, attachment, anxieties, other kinds of addictions that cause them to keep stacking useless junk on piles of useless junk until it consumes their lives. And they're in despair and they're hurting. The A&E Network is in the 11th season of producing the TV show called Hoarders. And you've seen some of the messes they deal with. And you see these scenes and you say, how can people live that way? How does this happen? People who are suffering emotionally, who face jail time or financial ruin or loss of property. So how can these individuals, how can these hoarders escape from their house-sized piles of junk and trash? They can't. At least not on their own. It takes somebody from the outside to help them, to open the doors, to raise the windows, to help them step by step, small decision by small decision, little actions until they begin to make progress. And then something can be done to help. And I'm telling you, the same is true with us, because some of us have spent a lifetime hoarding these deeds or acts of the flesh, Paul calls them. We let them into our lives and they pile up. And they get to the point where we don't know if we can do anything about this action, this sin, this habit that we have brought in. Brought into our hearts, brought into our souls, and it begins to pile up and pile up. And Satan rejoices when there are consequences for those actions. I mean, it starts small. It can start with just little complaints, just about life in general. And then that turns into gripes, and gripes turn into disputes, and disputes turn into conflicts because we keep piling on and piling on and piling on. And conflicts can lead to divorce or an estranged child or bankruptcy. Or maybe it begins with collecting meaningless little glances at a member of the opposite sex, and those glances become stares, and the stares lead to fantasies which can grow into flirtations and hints and suggestions, and before we know it, we've crossed the line and we've ruined families, destroyed them. And Satan rejoices at that. And we need to open our doors to someone who can help us out. So the Holy Spirit can just blow through our lives and point out all the trash that we need to throw out. All the things that we've shoved back into the corners of our souls that we pretend are not there, but we know they are. And someone from the outside, God saying, we're going to do this together. We're going to clean house. We're going to do it right. And you're going to start all over again because I'm going to forgive you of these sins, whatever they are. You've been carrying this burden too long. And he wants to remove those lies, the gossip, the unfaithfulness, the stealing, the gossip, everything that has piled up, everything that we've hoarded for days and months and years. Maybe nobody knows it on earth but you. But you've tucked it away. But God wants a clean house. He wants to help you right now. So just tell him. In your own heart, in your own mind, say, God, I'm really struggling with. Name it, whatever it is. Tell him you need help. I got to get this out of my life. Because the guilt I have and the pain I have and the pain I'm causing others has to go. He wants to help you with this. He loves you that much. Maybe it's a lack of priorities in your life. Maybe it's your temper. Whatever that is, deal with it. Sometime this week, pick up Galatians chapter 5, all the list of the fruit of the Spirit. Which fruit's going to help you clean out your life? For example, goodness, faithfulness, self-control will go a long way to cleaning out sexual sin. Virtually every fruit's going to help you with your anger. Love and faithfulness will knock out idolatry. And I'm not saying you've got a stone that you worship every day, but anything you put before God in your priorities is an idol. The fruit of the Spirit is going to help you deal with that. You identify which fruit's going to help you clean out these nasty corners. Let God help you with this. It's going to take an initial decision to do it. You're going to say, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get serious about it right now. And then it's going to take a daily recommitment. You're going to deal with this every day until you see the progress. Until you have that spiritual momentum, until you're really relying on God. Will you do that? It's between you and God. You don't have to report to anybody. Between you and God. And you're still going to fail from time to time. You're still going to have those moments where you fall flat on your face. But God's going to pick you up. And he's going to say, okay, we start all over here, but we're going to do it. And when you read that list, the fruit of the Spirit, skip on down to verse 16, which says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So even before he gets to all of this, walk by the Spirit, and you're not going to do these things. You're going to get rid of them. Praise God for that. I'm going to pray and dismiss you, but I want you to know that we have elders and staff here. And we're always willing to stop and pray with you if there's anything on your heart. If you've got family members who are hurting right now, just let us pray with you for them. We're here for you. And maybe you're unsure of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Let us answer those questions. Your questions, let us talk to you about it. And if you can't talk today, contact us this week through our website. We care about you all. And everything's just uncertain now. And I love the fact that you've come to be a part of a worship service, to be with people that are brothers and sisters in Christ. But we got to be there for each other. Let us be there for you. We love you. We pray God continues to show that love to you every day. Would you stand and let me pray for you? Father, this is a family right here. Sometimes members of family struggle. And that's when other family members come by them and say, we're there for you. We're praying for you. We'll help you any way we can. And everyone in here probably is struggling with some type of emotions, dealing with maybe sin, dealing with just a less than normal lifestyle now. Father, we seek your power. We seek to allow the Holy Spirit to control so we can develop self-control. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. Love you all. Have a great and safe week.